Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfuphi on Kaya 959. Legally speaking on Kaya Biz.
And as we do every Wednesday evening, this is where we discuss all things legally speaking. Not only do politics and business go hand in hand, but to be a legitimate business in South Africa, you need to comply by the law of the land. Not only have we touched on topics around regulation, around contracts, but of course, even the operational structures of businesses. And that leads us to our conversation for this evening. What kind of business structure should you opt for as an entrepreneur or business owner when trying to establish and formulate your own company? And that's exactly the theme. Sometimes you have companies, others you have partnerships, or even sole proprietors. And this is where we are leading our conversation to today and looking to solicit your feedback as well as entrepreneurs. Are you comfortable with understanding the various business structures and legal structures of entities, understanding the rights and limitations that these legal structures and entities actually have, and even transitioning in the landscape, starting off as a sole proprietor, then moving into operating a private company, and maybe even establishing a different kind of organization from then on. So this is what we're going to delve into for the next 20 minutes. We're keen to get your thoughts as entrepreneurs. Have you struggled with this? Are you learning more about it? And what key questions do you have about the pros, cons, strengths and weaknesses of either kind of business structures or entities that you can establish? Do dial in on 086-000-959. Alternatively, send a tweet at Kaya On Air and use the hashtag Kaya Biz. However, joining me to help us out with this particular conversation this evening, I'm joined on the line by Jonathan White. He's a senior executive attorney at MG Law, together with Jeffrey Phahla Mohlaka, who is a lawyer from Bowmans, to give us some insight into this particular conversation. Gentlemen, a very good evening to you both tonight, and thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Gugu. How are you?
Keeping well, thank you, and glad that you've joined us this evening, Jeffrey. Jonathan, good evening to you too.
Good evening, Gugu. Thank you so much for having me.
Fantastic.
And thank you for the introduction. I am an executive attorney at MG Law. And if there are any listeners out there who are in need of legal advice in relation to their businesses or contracts, they're welcome to just Google MG Law and we'll pop up and be able to assist you.
Awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Look at you, Jonathan. Thank you so much. You certainly know the value of airtime, but grateful to have you with us this evening. And I guess perhaps to kick off the conversation with yourself, Jonathan, and Jeffrey, we will certainly incorporate you in this conversation. But I guess let's start with understanding the various kinds of business entities that can exist in South Africa, because a company is not just a company, is a company, right? There's an array of entities that can exist in the South African business landscape. Help us understand.
So in South Africa, we've got five business entities, and I will quickly go through them and the advantages and disadvantages in relation to those entities. And then maybe your other guests could deal with maybe what you consider when deciding on which model you would like to choose. So in South Africa, we have got a sole proprietorship as a business entity. This is where there's a single founder who owns and runs the business. It's the simplest form of business entity, but the business is not separate from the owner. You will have a business with a trading name, and only you will have authority to make decisions about the business.
Mm-hmm.
You don't register the sole proprietorship. For instance, it can be Jonathan White trading as Jonathan White Attorneys, for instance.
Makes sense.
The advantages of this structure is it's very easy to set up, much easier than other business entities. The owner also maintains 100% control and ownership of the business, and the owner is entitled to all the profits. The disadvantages, you assume as the owner all the risk for the business, and all your assets can be seized to pay the business debt, and you can be personally liable for certain obligations.
And maybe just on that, this is ordinarily where a lot of entrepreneurs do start, right? Someone starting a speaking or plumbing company in their personal capacity, even those within the professional spaces. As you say, it's usually a one-man-run show. So that transition perhaps is usually the easy or simpler starting base.
Starting point. Typically, they are smaller one-man businesses. Once they grow larger, the partners can come on board, and then the business would be registered possibly as a Pty Limited, and we can get there. So an example of a sole proprietorship is Jeff Bezos. He started Amazon in 1994, and he wanted to create an online bookstore. It's called Amazon. We all know it. It's very risky for him. And he worked out of his garage initially, and he focused on upskilling himself and developing himself on an online platform. A year later, he then launched with more than 1 million books, calling himself and Amazon the Earth's biggest bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
So 4 years after the sale, he took the company public, which means he went into a public company, or LTD, and he was making sales of over $610 million, and that's how he started. So he started small, and his business eventually grew and went public, and now it's one of the most well-known brands and online stores in the world.
Indeed.
So it's very interesting.
So really seeing a lot of growth there, as you say, during his journey and that particular transition. Perhaps if we could shift to partnerships and then also discussing PTYs. Yes, sir.
Okay, so a partnership is where there's two or more co-owners of the business. They run it together. They pool their money and resources towards a common goal, and then they share their skills, but they also share in the ups and downs of the business success. So the advantages of having a partner or being in a partnership would be, you know, with more people, there comes more knowledge and expertise. You will normally have more capital and cash to work with. You also share the financial burden and expenses of running the business.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have an even distribution of labor. So you don't have to do all the work yourself. Disadvantages here, everybody in a partnership is liable for the debts. So whether they're caused by the other partners or not, for instance, one partner creates a debt, all the partners are liable for that debt. So you attract a risk or liability. You also have to share the control of your business with your partners. And it can also be difficult because dealing with people is not seamless. So there can be disputes which arise which constrain your relationship.
Uh-huh.
And then the last disadvantage would be if you want to sell this type of business, it can be difficult if other partners don't want to sell. To give you an example of a partnership, it's Apple. It's Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs.
Uh-huh.
They started Apple.
Oh, we don't know what happened there, huh?
And they went huge. Eventually, they enlisted the help of a co-founder, Ronald Wayne, and they began selling the Apple One. And it just grew and grew, and it's a partnership. So that's very interesting, and they're still a partnership. So that's just one of the interesting examples of a major global company that is actually a partnership.
Yeah, you're quite right. And that also had a very interesting dynamics in the early 90s, if I'm not mistaken, when things went a bit sour. Jonathan, perhaps very briefly on PTYs and private companies.
Okay, on private companies,
we've got with Jeffrey.
Okay, private companies, the big thing here is the company is treated as separate legal entity. So it needs to be registered separately. Then you've got two things with the PTY. You've got management, PTY Limited, which is directors, and then you have owners, which are shareholders. And shareholders don't necessarily make decisions in relation to the company. It's the directors that do deal with the operational day-to-day business. The advantages of having a PTY, you don't have to explain your finances or your decisions to anybody. So Richard Branson, or Virgin, he took his company private again. He took it from public, which you can get to know now, to private after it was public for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that because in making decisions when you have a public company or a limited company, it's difficult to make decisions because there's lots of shareholders that need to make input in public companies. So then, because the business is a separate entity, it continues to run smoothly even if you sell shares or you take on new directors. The company continues. Also, shareholders or the owners of the business who share in the profits are typically not liable for company debt. There are some tax implications when dividends are declared or when there's a profit and then they they declare the profit as a dividend, which gets paid to the shareholders, there would be a tax liability of 25%. And then also advantages, anybody who's a director who acts fraudulently, or recklessly can be personally held liable for the debt that they incur. Disadvantages, there's a lot of red tape, and there's a lot of legal compliance issues that need to be dealt with.
Annual financial statements and the likes as well that also need to be sent, correct?
You have to audit your financial statements. It's challenging, expensive to register. And an example of PTY Limited or a private company is Virgin. So Virgin went public, but then they went private again, and that's Richard Branson.
And I'm glad that you've also alluded to company names that we're all quite familiar with on a global scale that actually make it very practical in terms of understanding these examples and how and where they started. Jeffrey, thanks for that, Jonathan. Jeffrey, I'd like to come to you. I've kept you quiet for way too long, and I'm keen to hear your perspective on where entrepreneurs need to start. Jonathan's really helped us understand the dynamics of, you know, the typical journey of most entrepreneurs and some of the changes that might take place. But for up-and-coming businesses in South Africa, what's the best option to go for, if there is such a phrase that I can use?
Yeah, well, I think depending. I mean, if it's one entrepreneur and has already alluded to, we have what we call a sole proprietor, which is now, in terms of the New Companies Act, is a Section 57 company, where you would have an individual who would incorporate the company, and that individual would serve as both as a shareholder as well as the director of the company. Yes, so it just depends on one's business idea. So, but in case where you have, say, two or more persons with a common goal, the best entity would then be the private company, which would normally, the name of which would normally end with PTY Ltd, which is a 18(1) of the Companies Act. Well, in terms of that section, you have two types of companies. It's for profit company or a not for profit company. But I guess for today, a not for profit company doesn't form part of our discussion. So, well, to register a for profit company, if there are two individuals, they would have to then again, it will depend. I mean, if indeed they share the common goal, then they would register. There are certain forms that they will need to fill in with the CIPC. First and foremost, they will have to do a name reservation with CIPC, whereby they would submit four names in the order of their preference, and they would complete what we call a COR 9.1 form. Then that process of name reservation lasts for 6 months. Well, in case where, for example, your preferred name has been used previously, they'll probably have to contact the company that used that name to get a letter authorizing them to use that name or not. It just depends on what the other company would say.
And Jeffrey, I just want to jump in there, because you've really helped us understand a lot of the technicalities, and I guess I'm understanding you correctly. It depends on what your mandate is. Are you starting the business independently? How big or small you want to grow?
For sure.
What partnerships you want to grow? All of that essentially plays an influence on the kind of company and entity that you'd like to establish. We have identified some of the advantages and disadvantages, but I'm also keen to understand how flexible, and flexible I'm using quite mildly, carefully here, in terms of the transition from a partnership to a PTY, maybe from a PTY to a sole proprietorship. Are those dynamics easy for entrepreneurs to evolve in? And do we often see, I use the example of PTY to proprietorship. Is that even a move that's possible?
Yeah, no, it is. It is possible. I mean, again, it will depend on one's vision. For example, if you start as a Section 57, a sole proprietor, maybe you may, along your business journey, meet with someone who want to invest in your company, pump some more money and make the company more viable. And then maybe in that way, they could join by buying equity, by acquiring equity in the company. So then now you no longer have one person company, it will be two people. Therefore, you'll be from a...
Oh, Jeffrey, it appears as though we might have lost you there slightly on the line. There was a slight distortion towards the end of your response. Jonathan, perhaps this allows me to come to you just to get some feedback here, particularly for entrepreneurs who might believe, or if that is the case, that there are significant costs that might be involved, right? When one has to contact an attorney to assist with any legal paperwork and additional findings that need to be prepared. Has this ever proven to hold entrepreneurs back from altering the kind of legal entity that they establish or complying with the laws?
What we try to do at MG Law is we normally consult with the client who wants to establish an entity, and then we identify what are their goals, what did they want to achieve, and how many people are going to be involved in the management, and how many shareholders are there. How are we going to secure funding? So we do a package deal, and we try and keep the registration costs as low as possible because it's not technically difficult to register a company. The costs can be a little bit more expensive when we're dealing with, for instance, in a PTY or a partnership agreement, in a PTY shareholders agreement, or the directors working agreement, that's the agreement between the directors as to who does what. So it's very important to have a shareholders agreement in place. What happens when the shareholder wants to sell their shares in the company? How do we value these shares? Do the other shareholders get a first option to purchase? If it's a partnership, if one partner wants to leave, how are we going to determine the value of that partner's contribution? Are we going to pay them out? You know, so there's certain things that you have to look at from a strategic point of view. And so, you know, the contracts are actually the most important things that need to be in place between the parties, because the contracts will determine what happens if you want to sell, what happens if somebody passes away, you know, because those shares will be passed through to the estate of the deceased. So the contracts are the most important. Some of them can be very technical and they can take a long time and be more expensive, but costing in terms of establishment is not that bad. And contractually, the drafting of the contracts, the costing is not bad. But if you want us to climb in and assist you in the management of your business and streamline your business and assist you to implement mechanisms and systems in your business where you say you want to scale your business. So we can go into your business and we can do that. We find out what we do, what the business does. We look at the marketing, we restructure, we look at people who no longer need to be there, we clean up, we sort out the tax issues, and that can be a bit more expensive. But in the long run, that service is going to teach these entrepreneurs, and often entrepreneurs don't know how to run a business.
Uh-huh.
They've got a great idea, but how do we action it? What do we do? How do we protect our ideas? Do we need to register trademarks? How are we going to get our funding? Are we going to apply for a capital loan? Are we going to go with private funding? And how do you do that? You know, for a lot of entrepreneurs, they've got these great ideas, but it's just, how do you action them? And that's when you come to an attorney, or that's when you come to MG Law, because we want to assist you with your idea and try and mold a business structure around that, which you can work with, that suits your pocket, because we always tailor our quotations in line with our clients and what, you know, what they can afford, and we try and make a plan, and that's part of what we do.
Certainly.
I think the major things that you need to consider when you're starting a business is you need to look at scalability. So that is, you want your business to become bigger. So you want more turnover. You want more profit.
Exactly.
What are you going to do that? What marketing tools? Do you have enough infrastructure to deal with the volumes?
And what I'm learning from this today, Jonathan, that I'd like to share with the audience is that it's not just about the legal requirements independently or the cost thereof, but rather the view and overall strategy that one has for their business, and then how those elements then contribute to that strategy.
Yes, absolutely. And so we have full service law firm, and you can do this. The other thing that you need to consider when deciding on a business entity is your working capital.
Yes.
They do say that companies normally only break even after 3 years, which means you will need some money to carry you through while your business is being established and your presence is being established in the market. So it's also important to know that you would need some financing for that.
Indeed.
So break even, like I said, normally it's a period of 3 years. And those are the major things. And to look really at the risks and the viability of your business.
Indeed. Jonathan, we'll have to leave it there for tonight, unfortunately, but really appreciate your insights and the nuggets that you've shared with us. Something that entrepreneurs need to consider quite in depth in terms of analyzing what the needs of their business are, how they choose to scale their businesses, who they're starting their company with, and of course, the growth prospects and the money that's also attached to the growth stories that they'd like to share. We really appreciate your time this evening and the insights you've been able to share. A big thank you for your time tonight to Jonathan White, Senior Executive Attorney, Executive Attorney there at MG Law, as well as earlier we were joined by Jeffrey Pahlamuhlaka. He is a lawyer at Bowman Gilfillan, having joined us also to discuss the various business structures and business entities one can establish. Just a pity we lost Jeffrey, though, due to some technical issues. But that's been our conversation this evening, focusing on all things Legally Speaking.
Legally Speaking on Kaya Biz.
Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfupi.
Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.